Reading from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This has been a verse that's been shared and talked about and memorized, and it's a great one with great application for us all. But Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Oh, listening friend, what a great verse. And on this Testimony Tuesday, I have a special guest that may talk a little about that verse. He said that it's one of his favorites, but he loves God's word, so I think he has many, many favorites. But joining me in the studio here at WLUJ in Springfield is Pastor Roger Grimmett. He serves at the Springfield First United Methodist Church, and I'll tell you a quick little story about him. So as you know, last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I was talking with Dr. Terry Takel, and he said, "Oh, I love Illinois. In fact, I love Springfield. In fact, you know at all about the Springfield First United Methodist Church?" And I said, "Well, no, not really." He goes, "Oh, I love that place. I put on some prayer conferences there, and I would love to come back sometime." And I was like, "Oh, I got to look up and find out who that pastor is." Yeah. Well, lo and behold, last Saturday at the Springfield Ministerial Alliance, I was sitting there, and they said, "At the very end, Pastor Roger, would you close out our time in prayer?" And then somebody else said, "Yeah, that's Pastor Roger Grimmett. He's the senior pastor at the Springfield First United Methodist Church." I thought, "Oh, I left him a message last week because I wanted to see what he had to say about Dr. Terry." And so anyways, he joins me on short notice for today, the Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And so Pastor Roger, maybe by way of introduction, because I want to hear a little about your faith journey and your calling.
Yes.
I think you're close to 7 years here in Springfield. But what would you want the listeners to know about your faith journey and you and the beloved Brenda?
Yes. Well, thank you, Mark, and it's great to join you today here. And I would say, obviously, first and foremost, that before I became a pastor, I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I was a follower of Jesus and felt called into the pastoral ministry back in the early 80s. So it kind of tells you a little bit, Mark, about how old I am. But I attended McKendree, what is now University, a Methodist school in Lebanon, Illinois. And my older brother, Randy, was a real mentor of mine and was instrumental in leading me to Jesus. And so then I kind of followed him, and he actually became a pastor himself. Now he is deceased. He had some health issues a few years back. But I have been a United Methodist pastor for 37 years.
Wow.
And been preaching the word in a lot of different cities in central Illinois throughout my ministry, and I'm just excited about being in Springfield because I see God is moving in a powerful way here, and I want to be a part of what God is doing.
Yeah, I appreciated when you closed the time in prayer last Saturday, you talked about what you appreciated about your church being hands-on more and more nowadays, getting out into the community, getting engaged, being doers of the word.
Yes.
And so is that something that you brought, that you emphasize on Sunday?
Yeah, it is, Mark. I mean, I think it's the Holy Spirit that has sort of prepared the congregation. I mean, it's not simply something that I brought. I look at it as kind of an organic thing from the bottom up, actually, that God, through His Holy Spirit, just preparing people's hearts that as a congregation, we want to be active in meeting the needs of our community, and that doesn't simply include us writing a check and sending it to an organization or charity. We want to be involved as the hands and feet of Jesus interfacing and interacting with people in our community so that we can meet their needs, but then also tell them why we are doing what we're doing is because of Jesus. So it's both the deed and the word going together. A lot of churches are good about the deed, doing the action, but we believe that, I believe that it's beyond that. I believe that we need to let people know that it's through Jesus Christ and through His salvation in our lives that that's the ultimate reason why we do what we do.
And what would you say is your favorite aspect of serving at the Springfield First United Methodist Church? Is it the teaching and preaching? Is it helping people grow? Is it evangelism? Is it outreach? What flips your switch?
Well, I'd say it's all of the above, brother. You know, but if I would narrow it down, I think teaching and preaching Currently, we have a evangelism seminar that I'm leading on Thursday evenings. We have close to 50 folks that are a part of that that want to be equipped in how to go about sharing your faith in Jesus Christ. And like I said, we've been trained well to serve and to do the deeds, but the Bible talks to us about the Great Commission, and that is going to where people are and sharing our faith story with them. And that's moving beyond going out and knocking on doors. It has to be about that network of relationships at work, at school, at the grocery store, at all those places in the community where we interact with people, where we can share Jesus with them. And so I'd say the teaching, preaching, obviously, but then also I love interacting with people mm-hmm. one-on-one. I love to get to know people, like to ask questions. I'm really good about that. My staff knows that. And I'm always in the process of learning myself, and because I believe that if you quit learning, you quit growing. And so the learning comes from the Word of God, but also so many other resources that help me to be the best that I can be.
Yeah, I think last Saturday, that was echoed a few different times by different people that presented at the Springfield Ministerial Alliance about being in God's Word,
yes.
drinking it in, being equipped to then go out.
Yes.
And then I think somebody else mentioned, this was Bishop Jonathan Franklin talking about prayer being essential.
Yes.
Before we
yes.
do any evangelism or Absolutely. Go out, let's be grounded in prayer. And he was the catalyst. I mentioned him a couple times last week, and I had him on, I think it was a Testimony Tuesday or Monday program, where he shared some of his faith journey, but his passion for prayer. And
yes.
as he shared that with me, that's why now at noon, every day on all 19 of our frequencies, we have a different person reciting and praying and saying the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
And we're going to have you also
yes,
do that in
absolutely.
The coming days. But
yeah.
we're excited about what God does when people pray to him.
Amen.
But I want to go back to something that you mentioned, that your brother helped lead you to Christ.
Yes.
And for our wide range of mm-hmm. listeners, with 19 frequencies, like 102.5 is between two rock and roll stations. So we get different calls all the time. Karen, many times people yeah. call in and say, what was the Cubs score? Or do you have the lotto pick numbers for today? I mean, she gets a cross-section of callers. So I know there's some people that maybe have not begun a faith journey,
mm-hmm.
or that's a foreign concept to them.
Yes.
They don't get that there is a loving God that cares for
Absolutely.
Them. So what did your brother do to set that up?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I would say that both he and then I have a younger brother too, we came from a broken home.
Mm.
My father was an alcoholic, and we all three didn't want to live that kind of lifestyle. And so the Lord led us into a Bible-believing church in Brighton, Illinois, and we saw from a group of Christians there that we could be excited about Jesus. They explained Jesus to us in a way that we could relate to it. And I simply knelt around my pastor's dining room table at the time and prayed the sinner's prayer to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I was about 19 years of age at the time. And so my brother was a part of the church as well. And then he felt a call to ministry. And since he didn't have an active father figure in our life, you know, my older brother became sort of that one that gave me guidance and direction, and we talked a lot about a lot of different things all the time, and he helped to disciple me to become more like Jesus. And so for the listener out there that might be reaching out and wanting to know Jesus, is simply about just opening your heart and saying, Jesus, come into my life, make me a new person, and give me the power to be able to live for you. And then the step beyond that is getting involved in a local church, because you can't be effective as a Christian unless you are in a local church where the Word of God is proclaimed.
Now, talk a little bit for maybe that skeptic or
Yep.
somebody unfamiliar with this loving God. What is the character of Jesus or God? Like, why would we be drawn to them, or why should we see Jesus as Lord and Savior?
Absolutely, because Jesus came to earth. He became flesh and blood. And he experienced everything that we've gone through. He experienced frustration. He experienced betrayal. He experienced all those kinds of things. And yet the scripture says that he was without sin.
Mm.
And he became that sacrifice for each of us as he gave his life on the cross for our sin. And then he rose again for our sake. So he understands, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you're going through, he understands completely, and he will give you the power to be able to change your life. You can't do it on your own. You need divine help. So that's why I believe that we are called as Christ followers to be bearers of the good news.
And I was thinking the fact that he rose from the dead, he has the credentials. I mean, he is God. It's it's a mystery how he's fully God and fully man, but he can identify with our hurt, our pain,
that's
our suffering.
Whatever we're going through.
And yet he mirrored God. He represented God. He is God. But when we learn of his character, he helped, he healed, he walked with people, he listened. He brought a healing touch. He's compassionate and caring. And so I'm just thinking for that person that's driving to work that feels like they've reached bottom's end. Life isn't working out. They've been disillusioned over things. They've been hurt. They've been battered. There's been atrocities maybe against them. And they're thinking, but why did a loving God allow that to happen? How would you help them understand that God is good, and yet it is a sin-fallen world?
Well, I think that because of the reality that God is good, he took that step, sending his own son, so that because he tried many other ways to reach humankind, and still we didn't get the message. And so he had to send his very own person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be able to walk where we've walked and to experience everything that we've done. Now, obviously, because we live in a world that is fallen, that's broken because of sin, and we see that every day, we also know that without the love of God that's often expressed and embodied through people, right? We are Christ followers, then the world becomes a better place. And as a result, that you remove Christ and Christ followers from the equation, and we just have lawlessness and all kinds of things, violence and anarchy. And so, therefore, his very presence through his followers, through the believers, is what sustains this world and makes a difference. And so I think that we're called to, in the midst of the bad news, we're called to be the good news. And we're not to acquiesce to the culture and sit back and say, well, you know, things are bad, so therefore we're not going to do anything about it. No, that's not the posture of the Christ follower. We are to be engaged and to make a difference, even if it's in one person's life. So I don't buy this notion that, okay, everything's terrible and evil, so therefore let's remove our hands from it because it's going to be that way forever. No, I don't think so. And I think that's when people have that attitude, then they're not following Jesus of the Bible.
Well, you mentioned the word being engaged, and that made me think of First Lady Brenda. How did that love story start? And was she instrumental in helping you feel that you were called to preach and serve, especially these last 7 years in the Springfield area?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have been married 40 years.
And congratulations.
Thank you. And we went to seminary together back in 1983. And so Brenda, when before I got married to her, she understood that I was going to be going into the pastoral ministry. And to a degree, because she had grown up in the church, she understood what's involved with that, you know, because there's a lot of sacrifice. You're moving around. You're being what we call in our tradition itinerant. And so God, through the Spirit, working through bishop and district superintendents to make appointments of pastors to local churches where you're needed. And so she has been a full supporter of mine all along the way, knowing that there would be the ups and downs and the trials that we all go through. I don't care who you are. You're a pastor or you're a layperson of a church. We are human. Right. And so we all go through those experiences. And so she has been right there by my side all along the way. Both she and I, we have two children who are now grown, two grown sons, and our oldest son is married, and we have two grandchildren in the St. Louis area. And so yeah, I've been totally blessed, Mark. And Brenda has walked with me through cancer that came about last fall of 22, and then through 6 months of chemo and whatnot, I'm now cancer-free. So I praise God for that. But she was the steadying influence behind that, as well as a loving congregation. Mark, you wouldn't believe all the amount. I'm not just saying the prayers, but it was like cards and messages and all that that reminded me of a loving congregation, but more importantly, a loving God.
And what would you say is maybe one of the best character traits about Brenda? A prayer warrior, the gift of mercy, the gift of compassion, assisting?
I would, you know, Brenda's probably primary spiritual gift is that of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And she obviously in local churches, because local churches have all kinds of opportunities / needs. As the spouse of the lead pastor, she's involved, you know, in our current ministry with our kid life. She's involved in a supportive role as well, and just kind of picking up the slack and seeing where the needs are, and not being intrusive because that's not her style, but being one that's being very supportive and coming alongside of and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Well, we opened up the program out of Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? That's kind of an interesting phrase there. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. I think we all could soak and drink this in.
Yes.
And then it goes on to say, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I think you could preach a message on this, but maybe break it down a little for that person possibly discouraged today to the senior saint that just rejoices in this truth.
Yeah. Well, I love how this text starts. So Moses has led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. And so Moses found out that he would not actually lead the children of Israel into the promised land, but it would be his successor, Joshua. And Moses was a great mentor to Joshua, obviously. And so Joshua was taking the baton of leadership from Moses. And so he had a gargantuan task to be able to lead the children of Israel into the promised land and to organize them, so on and so forth.
Those grumblers.
Those grumblers, right?
Yes.
So he had to receive these appropriate words, obviously, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through God, to say, hey, Joshua, you are the man. So therefore, be strong and courageous. Do not be fearful or dismayed, for the Lord is with you wherever you should go. What appropriate words for somebody that's taken the baton of leadership from a giant by the name of Moses and then leading the people into the promised land. And there would have been hundreds of thousands of men, women, boys, and girls that he was called to take the next step of leadership with. And so it doesn't matter what you're going through, whether you're facing a financial challenge, a health challenge, whether you're not a believer or you are, God is with you. He promised he will be with you to the end of the age. And if you're not a believer, he wants you to just open your heart and say, come in, Jesus, and make me that follower so that I can trust you and not be fearful.
Mm-hmm. And I love the closing few words here. He'll be with you wherever you go.
Absolutely.
Wherever you go.
And Mark, can I add that Matthew 28, the final words of Jesus to his disciples was the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But his final words were, and I will be with you wherever you should go. So the Bible supports itself. It's complementary. It's not contradictory.
Yeah, Old Testament,
Hallelujah.
New Testament.
Yes.
It's thoroughly vented by God and his Holy Spirit to be applicable to us all circumstances.
Getting me excited here.
And I'm thinking, listening friend, wherever you go today, you have that opportunity to be God's representative, his worker bee. You get to be that disciple of Jesus to bring healing and hope. And it's as you go. It's not just when you get there.
Yes.
It's as you go. It's at the supermarket. It's at the gas pump. It's as you're walking along on the trail. Wherever you go, as you go, you have that opportunity to share the good news message of Jesus. And I love the verse before this, and you could probably preach another message on that. Do not let this book of the law, we're talking about the Holy Scriptures, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. That's the lead-up verse.
Yes.
So it's always good to have a verse in context.
That's
but
right.
this
That's
is
right.
another one. And maybe, Pastor, before you close our time in prayer, you can encourage people. Why is it important for them to know God's Word?
Well, I think that it's just crucial because the Bible talks about in Romans 12, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed through the renewal of your mind. And friends, when you get into God's Word and you open the Bible, it will help transform your mind. Mm-hmm. It'll get you away from thinking about everything that's going on right now in our culture and it will renew your mind, where it will equip you, it will encourage you, it will provoke you sometimes, but it will always challenge you to be the best version of yourself. And so, Mark, it's imperative that the scriptures be paramount. All other stuff is good to read. I read books all the time. I've always got four or five going. But the primary textbook is God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. And so get into the Word, let it speak to you. It's not so much crucial how much you read. What's more important is what you read and making sure that you meditate on it and let it speak to you. Even if it's one verse, even if it's a phrase out of that one verse, it's allowing God to just renew you.
Well, Pastor Roger, how about closing our time in prayer,
yes,
encouraging the senior saint or those that are on their faith journey to the skeptic, maybe still uncertain about who this Jesus is?
Yes. And Mark, I thank you for that invitation, and I appreciate that. So let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much, first and foremost, for Jesus, God's only Son, who came to this world to buy us back and to purchase our redemption. And we thank you so much for our listening audience. We pray today for those who are skeptics, those who are searching for answers, those who lack purpose in their life. We pray, O Lord, that you, through the Holy Spirit, would reveal yourself to those individuals and let them know that Christianity is not a religion as much as it is a relationship. That Christianity is about what God has already done through His Son. And so let them know that it's not a matter of trying to live a good life to achieve God's favor. No, God has already declared that He loves each of us so very much He sent His Son. So open the minds and the hearts of those who are searching and struggling to find an answer for their why. And may that why be found in knowing Jesus and making Him known to others. And then today we pray for those who are struggling, going through difficult situations. All of us have struggles all the time. Jesus said, in this world you will have trials, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so we pray for a spirit of encouragement. We pray for a spirit of comfort and a spirit of power and passion to just cover our listening audience today. Let them know that you are there with them and for them. If God be for us, the Bible says, who or what can stand against us? And so may each of us today receive this exhortation and encouragement to walk with Jesus and to know that He goes before us. So therefore, we have nothing to fear as long as Jesus is with us. And we thank you for that. We give you all the praise for the name of Christ and His kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.